Psalm 57. Set to the tune, Do Not Destroy, a michtam of David, when he fled from Saul into the cave. And children, this would have been the time when Saul was trying to kill David, but he showed Saul that he wasn't going to fight back. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it they themselves have fallen. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Again, this is a song, a psalm, a meditation that was written by David at the time when he fled into the desert, there in the south part of Judea, Israel, to get away from King Saul, who was trying to murder him for no purpose. And again, as you've heard me say, the Psalms are caused by or appropriate to the time in David's life when he wrote it. But primarily, as he is the type of Christ, the Psalms point to Jesus as well. It starts, Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. And again, mercy is what we're looking at here. David is not claiming a right to the good actions of the Father, but rather mercy is what he's looking for. In the second part of this first verse, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. This should make us all immediately think of Psalm 91. And Psalm 91, of course, is specifically said to be about Jesus, the Messiah, in the New Testament. So this is the connection that I was talking about. In the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Now again, as we've said and we've seen in the Psalms and all through the Bible, being a Christian is not a promise of everything being easy, everything being nice. The Psalms don't know anything of the name it and claim it prosperity gospel. The calamities are going to come. But as the psalmist here says, as Jesus says, rest under the wings of the Father until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. And again, look back at the Psalms, or think of the other Psalms, where it says that he'll send angels to bear you up. That goes back to the temptation of Satan to Jesus, where he said, throw yourself from the temple, and angels will come and carry you. But here the psalmist, here Jesus says, he shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And here again, we see truth and mercy together. There's nothing set apart. Truth or doctrine does not stand apart from grace or mercy. They're together. They have to be for either one to be of any value. Now in verse 4 and on, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men. Now in the Bible, the term sons of men is used often as in direct opposition to the term the Son of Man. The Son of Man, singular, is always used to refer to the Messiah or one who stands in his place. Sons of Men is looking at the secular, the earthly, or the more fleshy aspect of humanity. Brute beasts without any sense, without any spirituality. And think of how it must have been for a holy Jesus to live among lions, to lie among the sons of men. Now, those of us who work in the secular world or go to school would know what that's like, to be different from everyone else around you because of, you're not willing to wallow in the muck, in the mud, But how much worse would this have been for Jesus? I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, the fiery ones that are spoken of, whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Now, there's other places in the Bible that speak of the tongue as a sword or a knife cutting down rather than building up. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. And here we see the acknowledgement that what David is going through in the history of redemption and what Jesus went through in the accomplishment of redemption was not for the sake of the people. And Phil talks about that. It's not that God has a responsibility or was created for us. It's the other way around. Be exalted, O God, in your works. Be exalted in my pain, is what they're saying. Be exalted above the heavens, and let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. We think of the times where they set traps, not physical traps, but verbal traps for Jesus. How David had traps set for him, waiting for him to say or do the wrong thing. They have prepared a net for my steps, and my soul is bowed down, knowing that they're out to get you. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Now, children, there's a term or a phrase called hoist by one's own petard, which means to blow yourself up with your own bomb. And we think of how, at times, amusingly appropriate it is when someone falls into their own trap. And here God is talking about that, that those who meant to do evil have found themselves doing good and trying to chase and kill the Messiah condemned themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. Now this is the conclusion. We've had a couple different predicate statements that lead to this conclusion then. Looking at God's mercy and then looking at man after me. And what does this psalmist end with? My heart is steadfast. Children, you know what steadfast means? Mr. Pockris, last week, I believe it was talking about how something that is fixed doesn't mean it's repaired, but it's stuck in one place. And when something has become fixed, it is now fast. It doesn't move. Something that's steadfast is both steady and fastened, see, fast, fastened into one place. So this man's heart, Jesus' heart, is steadfast. All of these things can't hurt it. Going through the trials showed him that his heart is steady and fixed and fastened, locked down, that he's going to stay with God. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. He will not be moved. He cannot be shaken. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory, awake. Lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. Now, we have someone here who's been suffering and praying and worried all night long. And now we see that it was indeed all night long because he's going to awaken the dawn. So it's probably around 6:30 in the morning in the cave. And it's time to waken the dawn with glory to God, with praise and worship. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. And here we have another indication this isn't David. He didn't go to the peoples. He didn't go to the nations of the earth. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. The conclusion is that my heart is fixed, and I will worship God and praise you among the peoples, among the nations, and look how good God is. And ending again, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Children and adults, we are not here so that God can save us and do good things for us. We are here so that God's mercy is shown in saving us. And by doing so, he will be glorified. He will be exalted and be shown holy and shown righteous and shown merciful and shown loving. When we start saying, God, it's unfair what you've done to us and I deserve better, we have completely lost the plot. We are here for his sake, for his purposes, and to glorify him. That doesn't make us tools in his hand alone, for he has also adopted us as his children. And in using us for his glory, he loves us so that we can love him as well. We have the opportunity now to, as this song says, to praise him among the peoples, to sing among the nations, and to pray and to claim that he should be exalted above the heavens and to let his glory be above all the earth.